the sake of greater transparency, and then, but then they will at the same time be urged to pursue them as legally binding targets at home. That was supposed to be a compromise solution, and this idea of NAMA registry or registering those voluntary targets on national, this NAMA registry was subsequently adopted by the Conference of Parties. And finally, COP17 is going to be held in Durban in South Africa later this year. And then next year, the COP18 will be held somewhere in Asia. And next year is going to be the final year for the Kyoto Protocol regime. And by the end of next year, we should have some idea of what kind of a post-Kyoto regime there is going to be. So next year's COP is very important and crucial. And Korea is bidding to host that COP18 next year. Unfortunately, however, Qatar has emerged as also as another candidate to host the COP18. So there is sort of a competition or so going on between our two countries. Now, our desire to host COP18 reflects our willingness and our belief that Korea may be able to sort of help broker a cooperative deal between the developing countries and the developed countries as to post Kyoto regime to follow the expiration of the current Kyoto Protocol regime. And I come to another group of Korean green growth international initiatives. I can name about four of them. First, Korea launched the so-called East Asia Climate Partnership Initiative in 2008, which is to help developing countries, mostly in Asia, Central Asia, South Asia, and so on, to undertake their own climate actions, mostly adaptation projects, such as conservation of water resources and so on. And Korea is increasing the green components of overseas development assistance. And it is going to be increased to 80% by year 2020. This green ODA will be contributed to the international initiative, such as ADB Carbon Fund for the Future, the Global Environment Fund, and so on. Now, OECD has just now, or last month, completed a two-year project on green growth strategy. And this project was initiated 2 years ago at the suggestion of the Korean government. And the report was released just 1 month ago, and Korea has formally launched its so-called green growth strategy on the basis of this report. And Korea, the OECD, will be undertaking very many programs, sector by sector and region by region, issue by issue, in the concrete implementation of this green growth strategy. And this will quite change the nature of the OECD economic policy programs. And Korea has been a very important partner to the OECD in this initiative. And then 1 year ago, Korea launched the so-called Global Green Growth Institute, or 3GI, in June 2010, in order to promote green growth as a new paradigm for developing countries. And this is not a Korean institution, although it was launched by the Korean government. It is meant to be an international institution, and hopefully it will evolve into an international treaty-based organization such as the OECD before the end of next year. And the role of this institute will be to help developing countries formulate and undertake green growth policies and projects. And this 3GI has secured quite a number of partner countries as well as partner institutions already. And finally, let's see. I have come to Washington after having just now attended a major international conference held on the first 2 days of this week in Seoul by the name of Global Green Growth Summit on the first anniversary of 3GI. And the theme for that conference, the summit, was a planet responsible civilization. And it was attended by about 600 or so participants, including more than 100 international participants, which in turn included many representatives from various international institutions, such as the United Nations. And here, President Lee proposed to open the era of Earth 3.0, in which Earth environment and human civilization coexist in harmony. And specifically, he announced a plan as a follow-up to the launching of 3GI, a plan to launch a green technology center for the benefit of developing countries. And this 3GI summit, which was held this year for the first time, will be continued annually, and it'll serve as a focal point of interaction among various green growth related international institutions. Now, I come to what I call prologue, and to explain this, there was a project which preceded Korea's launching of the green growth strategy, and which I think had inspired such launching. It was a project to restore a narrow, winding stream called Cheonggyecheon that used to flow through the heart of the city of old Seoul. Now, in the early 1950s, this is how that stream that was running through the heart of Seoul used to look like. Here is the river, the stream, very dirty with all kinds of wastewater from the neighboring slum dwellings. And these are the people who used to live there. And this was the shape of the stream in the 1950s. And then in the early 1960s, then President Park Chung-hee launched a project to cover that stream with concrete pavement and to build on top of the pavement an elevated expressway through which the passengers and the passenger cars and trucks with the cargoes would move uninterrupted. So we built that elevated highway in place of that stream, and it was bordered by numerous chains of very small what you might call metal product dealers. And it then became the source of major source of air pollutions and heat and greenhouse gas emission, of course. And this is how it looked more recently. Now, this is how it now looks like right now in Seoul. We have resurrected that river. And that river is through that stream, runs very clear and clean water. Actually, the name Cheonggyecheon of Cheonggyecheon Stream means literally clean and clear water. And we have that Cheonggye stream right now. And here is the picture, photo of a big fish which was swimming in that restored clean water. And this is how it looks like from a bit afar, and this is where the young people are, you know, gathering to celebrate the youth. And this new stream is bordered by chains of chic restaurants, coffee houses, boutiques, and other cultural facilities. And this restoration, which, you know, elimination of the express highway, expressway, and restoration of the river would have worsened the traffic, which was already bad enough. But that had been prevented from happening by reforming the mass transport system in Seoul, which is structured around bus-only lanes that run through the center of the big avenues. This is what they look like now. So the traffic has not really worsened. And as a result of this restoration project, the air in Seoul City has become cleaner. The temperature has dropped by 2%. And this old heart of Seoul has become a very culturally a vibrant new activity center, especially for young people. And my question to you, who do you think has done this project of restoring the Cheonggyecheon River? It was then mayor of Seoul City, Lee Myung-bak. And then he launched this national green growth project after having become the president. And I think that he got the inspiration for this green growth strategy from his own successful project of restoring the Cheonggyecheon stream. So I have now come to the end of my presentation, and I thank you very much for your attention. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we'll move right into our panel, so I'd like to invite the panelists to come up. Feel free to get coffee or water, but we're not going to take a formal break. If the panelists can come to begin the next session. Thank you.
That is the order. All right.
I might have to go over there.
Yes. From this.
Yes.
Well, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, we should be ready to get started in just about a minute. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, good morning. I'm very pleased to see you here today. I'm Greg Scarlatti, KEI's Director of Public Affairs and Business Issues. After a very comprehensive presentation by the chairman of what is the control tower of green growth and green growth policy in Korea, we are now ready to proceed with our first session. Our first session is going to address the potential role, the current and future role of the private sector in green growth. And our two speakers are going to speak for about 20 minutes. After that, we'll proceed with a very brief Q&A. Our speakers will be ready to take questions from the audience. And then we should be ready to proceed with the second panel of this morning. Our first speaker today is Dr. Hwang Ju-ho, who has been serving as president of the Korea Institute of Energy Research since September 2010. At the Korea Institute of Energy Research, Dr. Hwang is spearheading efforts to work on Korea's R&D green front. What is also very well known in Korea is that Dr. Hwang is one of Korea's top experts in nuclear waste disposal. He is a nuclear scientist by formation, although the focus of his institute right now is not nuclear, but rather Korea's green technologies and green R&D. Since you have his biography, I would also like to tell you just that he is a graduate of Seoul National University and that he has a PhD in nuclear and radiological engineering from the Georgia Institute of Technology in Georgia. Without further ado, Dr. Hwang, the floor is yours.
Okay, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ju-ho Hwang, president of Korea Institute of Energy Research. It is my pleasure to give a presentation on how Korea's green R&D is going on. Since Chairman Yang gave us very detailed information on green policies, I may save my time in introducing some overlapped items. Okay, first, I briefly cover the status of energy supply and efficiency as well in Korea. Next, I will tell you how we set up our green energy policy and following strategies. Finally, I will compare our R&D investment and core items of investment. Let me start with Korea's energy status. As Chairman Yang said, Korea's energy consumption in 2008 is 240 million tons, ranking the country the 10th biggest energy consumer in the world. In particular, energy consumption per capita in 2008 was 4.95, which is higher than those of Japan, Germany, and UK. These countries have higher GDPs than Korea. We are one of the biggest energy importers. Our energy dependence on overseas is too much. We import about 97% of energy from overseas. And self-development rate for oil and gas is just over 10%. And moreover, most of oil comes from Middle East, 82%. And energy import accounts for one-third of our country's total import. Total energy import almost equals with the total amount of country's major exports, semiconductors, shipbuilding, and automobiles. Therefore, we actively go overseas to develop oil wells and gas fields and tries to improve energy efficiency and push demand management to increase our energy efficiency. Okay, our green energy supply or green energy consumption. Here I define, or green energy defined here to include nuclear and hydro and renewables. Green energy consumption reaches to 42 million ton oil, which is the 12th biggest country in 2008. And nuclear capacity is about 18 gigawatt, which is sixth in the world. And nuclear takes share of more than one third. And renewable energy power generation is only 1.2% of total energy power supply. And thus, Korea tries to expand the use of renewables with diverse policies. With regard to CO2 emissions, we emit around 500 million ton of CO2, making the 10th biggest CO2 emitter from energy sector. Most of greenhouse gas emission comes from energy sector and industrial process. This is due to the high energy consumption frame of Korean industry. So we have to set up green energy strategies, green energy R&D strategies to reduce greenhouse gas emission and to increase our energy efficiency. Since the declaration of or announcement of low carbon green growth vision in 2008, national energy policy or national energy plan or green energy industry strategy or green energy R&D strategies or national strategy for green growth followed. Among them, several strategies are for R&D plans. Our green R&D strategies is to achieve the national vision of low-carbon green growth diverse policies, greenhouse gas emission reduction, and expansion of renewable energy supply and energy efficiency improvement and nuclear power industry development and smart grid development are included. And policy directions are set up like this to shift to low carbon economy and social structure by strengthening energy self-sufficiency, and to lead to a strong green energy nation. So according to our first National Energy Basic Plan released in 2008, we have to increase the renewable energy supply rate up to 11% and decrease the oil dependency down to 33% and increase the self-development rate up to 40%. Now, our green R&D status and direction follows. I may introduce our R&D investment in detail. You may compare the size of Korean R&D on this figure. Korea's total R&D budget is about $300 million, which is 3.37% in GDP, ranking fourth in OECD countries. And government's R&D budget is around $123 million, which is fifth in the world. Among government's R&D budget, energy budget takes $0.8 billion, which accounts for 7.15% of government's R&D budget. In this budget, Ministry of Knowledge and Energy Economy has its own energy R&D budget, of which the size is $400 million, which accounts for 50% of energy R&D budget. Now, R&D investment by technology. R&D budget of Ministry of Knowledge Economy for Energy Technology reached to $500 million in 2009, which is twice as that of 2005. And budget share for green energy has risen from 44% in 2005 to 62% in 2009. And big businesses carried out 44% of the total research, and small and medium enterprises takes about one quarter, and research institutes just over one-fifth in 2009. Looking at green R&D direction, goal was set up to achieve world-class technology by 2030. To achieve the level of green technology as a whole in Korea is still around 70 to 80% of the top class level. The objectives are set to support for green energy industry by focusing on competitive core technologies and strategy. R&D program is to increase efficiency of energy-intensive products such as boiler, electric motor, by converging technology with IT or NT. And fundamental energy technology is also encouraged for long-term and large-scale projects. And infrastructures also emphasized to be built for multilateral international collaboration and international joint R&D projects. This picture shows the major energy strategic technologies chosen for investment. These are categorized as renewable energy and greenhouse emission reduction technology and energy efficiency technology. Selection criteria for these technologies were achievability and impact to industry and weighting in reducing greenhouse gases. So for these major technologies, we are emphasizing an investment, and big companies as well as small and medium enterprises are also working together. Among them, although Mr. Lee will explain more in detail, we are focusing on smart grid. And the meaning of having smart grid in Korea is to have reduction of peak load by 7 million kilowatt, which will lead to save 1 trillion won. And this will finally will save 3% of the national energy consumption. We have in Jeju Island demonstration complex started in August 2009. This is the world best and or large scale smart grid test bed. And five areas of smart grid experiments are going on. One is smart power grid, second smart place, smart transportation, smart renewable, smart electricity service. And finally, I'd like to introduce my institute's area of R&D. Korea Institute of Energy Research, a leading energy R&D institute, plays a pivotal role in carrying out green energy R&D. We do cover all energy areas, including every renewables, clean coal, and coal to liquid, energy efficiency in home and industries. Recently, we reorganized all those areas into six major areas, emphasizing on convergence among technologies to extract best outcome. Six major areas are like this: renewable energy for distributed power generation, consisting of photovoltaics and concentrated solar power, and high energy heat energy network, consisting of thermal network and thermal storage, and CO2-free contains CCS and smart building, clean fuel, look for coal technology and hydrogen generation technology, and next generation battery includes second battery and fuel cell technologies, and crossing all over. We need energy material development for convergence. Energy is essential to human life. Without it, nobody can survive. So thus, while we are doing R&D on energy technology, we believe that by technology, we may save ourselves as well as world. People. That's it. Thank you.
Dr. Hwang, thank you very much for this very comprehensive presentation on Korea's green R&D, who has set the stage for our next speaker, who will be addressing the role of the private sector, beginning with a discussion of the smart grid, the potential for U.S.-Korea cooperation in this area as well, and also the potential presented to the private sector. Our next speaker, Dr. Lee Jong-jun, is a well-known authority in Korea for his efforts on standardization. He is very well-known in Korea, and he's also very well-known elsewhere, because he has participated in numerous international conferences and workshops dealing with this issue. He is currently the General Manager and Research Fellow for Smart Grid Strategy and Business Development in the Smart Grid Business Division of LSIS in Anyang, South Korea. He received both his BS and MS in Electrical Engineering from Seoul National University and his PhD from Purdue University in Indiana. Dr. Lee Jong-jun, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Greg, for introducing me. Good morning, everybody. I'm Jong-jun Lee, just call me JJ. I'm a general manager and research fellow for LS Industrial Systems, LSIS. And it is my great pleasure to speak in front of you, and especially I would like to thank Mr. Scott Schneider, for Center for U.S.-Korea Policy, as well as KEI here. Today's talk consists of three parts. The first, I will cover what is going on related to the smart grid in Korea, and then regarding the smart grid, how we, Korea and United States, are collaborating each other. I will talk about that secondly. And lastly, as an example of activity from the private sector, I will cover what our company, LSIS, is doing regarding the smart grid and green business. So first, let me cover what is happening in the smart grid in Korea. So after, say, the President Lee Myung-bak's announcement is the national vision of a low carbon and green growth, Korean government, especially the MKE, Ministry of Knowledge and Economy, published the roadmap of a green energy, what it called a green energy roadmap. Mr. Hwang already mentioned about it. And it selects 15 fields, like from the power-wise, smart grid, clean thermal power plant and nuclear power plant included. And for the renewable energy part, solar, wind power, fuel cells, IGCC, and biofuel are included. And for the energy efficiency part, green car, electric vehicle, energy efficient buildings, storages, and the high efficient lighting such as LEDs and clean fuel, carbon capture and storage, and heat pumps are selected as a 15 items or business areas that we are going to focus on. And to support this green energy roadmap, MKE also identify from the green IT sector, for example, like green semiconductor, which is the power semiconductor part, as well as those RFID business area. Among these items or business areas identified by the MKE, smart grid especially has been receiving the spotlight. There are several reasons why the Korea can do better in the smart grid area, and we found some kind of opportunities like this. The first reason is that Korea has just one and only one transmission and distribution company called KEPCO. As far as I know, in the States, there are more than 3,000 utilities here. And it's really hard to sound a kind of a unison for doing something. But we have only one utility here, KEPCO, so that once KEPCO and government decided, then it's very easy to go for it. The second reason is that, you know, we have very dense territory, so that we could just, implement very quickly. And third one is we have a worldwide leading broadband internet infrastructure, which has to be, you know, combined with the power infrastructure together. That means a smart grid. So that we just found that these kind of three kind of opportunities in Korea, and set the government set the vision like, okay, we're going to construct the world first nationwide deployment of smart grid by 2030. In addition to implementing this smart grid like this, government also expect, for energy efficiency, like 3% of a national energy reduction by smart grid. Also wants to reduce the CO2 emissions. And again, economically, by the smart grid, we are going to reduce the fossil fuel import, like, for example, like $10 billion of import every year by the smart grid. And then, with the vision and the leadership of the President Lee Myung-bak announced his announcement of national vision, low carbon and green growth. Then, February 2009, the Presidential Committee on Green Growth was launched. As you may know, Dr. Yang is a chairman of this summit committee. And then, from the private sector wise, Korea Smart Grid Association was launched in May 2009. And President Lee Myung-bak visited the United States in June 2009 and talked about the smart grid collaboration with the United States, with President Obama at the time. And Korea was designated as a lead country in smart grid by the MEF, Major Economies Forum on Energy and Climate, which is a co-held like G8 expanded summit in Italy in July 2009. And then to expedite this kind of activity from the government side, Korea Smart Grid Institute was launched in August 2009. And KSGI initiated embarking those Jeju Smart Grid Testbed, which is just started like December 2009, like that. So as you can see, it only takes just 16 months to make something happen like that way. So, you know, we are kind of very fast-moving guys. And last year in January, even government announced the roadmap, especially for smart grid. As you can see, the vision and goals like that. But especially, I mean, roadmap identifies five business areas too. For example, smart power grid, smart consumer, smart transportation, smart renewables, and smart energy services are there. And based on these business models, the private sector is preparing by themselves as their products, systems, or services according to this plan. And say that based on these five business areas, Jeju Smart Grid Testbed is exactly based on those five urban domains. And the Jeju Testbed, the characteristic of Jeju Testbed is, very interesting, which just aims to be a all-in-one testbed. What I mean all-in-one testbed is test every business field in one place. And also, it just aims to be a kind of a world most advanced and largest testbed in the world. And it actually, as I said before, it is initiated by KSGI from the government sector, but basically it's kind of private sector driven. For this project, more than 160 companies in Korea joined, and we expect it is expected that more than $240 million is expected to be invested. Okay, let me move on to talk about how Korea and the United States are collaborating with each other in smart grid. Okay, when President Lee Myung-bak visited the United States in June 2009, the MKE, Ministry of Knowledge and Economy from Korea, and the Department of Energy from the state signed a kind of a SOI, Statement of Intent, for collaborating in smart grid. At the same time, from the private sector-wise, Korea Smart Grid Association and the Gridwise Alliance in the States also have a kind of MOU to collaborate with each other. And these two kind of a collaborating, signing is kind of a base, set the fundamental basis for launching the international cooperation in smart grid. For example, like from the private sector-wise, Global Smart Grid Federation was launched in September 2010. And through these regular meetings, in November 2010, there was a big in a gathering called Korea Smart Grid Week, actually, which was just held at the same time with the G20 summit in Korea. And then GSGF has another meetings at the Clean Energy Ministry in United Arab Emirates in April, too. And now, the charter members are increasing, and currently 8 countries, such as United States, Korea, India, Japan, Australia, Ireland, Canada, and UK are members as those smart grid federation. And even for the public sector-wise, the ISGAN, what is called the International Smart Grid Action Network,
has been launched with 12 countries. And recently, it opened a kind of secretariat office in Korea, very recently in June right now.